afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Snail Nation. Let's talk about censorship. I've talked about it a couple times on a few other podcasts, and also last year during all the social justice, racial justice nonsense, when censorship was dialed up to 9,000, and it's continued all the way into 2021. So some of the things I've ran into, and I'm sure plenty of people can relate. In 2000, I had my my YouTube channel was hit pretty hard as I started to post more videos talking about a lot of the quote unquote peaceful protests. There were some negative videos, videos that spoke negatively about Black Lives Matter, Antifa, things like that. So I started losing subscribers, that kind of stuff. So I shifted away from that and pivoted. So then I had my Twitter account, or two Twitter accounts, and had thousands of followers and just a lot of good communication, that sort of thing. And that account, it lasted surprisingly a long time. A few months in, going from fall of last year of 2020 all the way up to I think mid-January, that's when I started seeing, like, I was losing hundreds and hundreds of followers each day from that platform. Then I would get these warnings that would come out of nowhere that were incredibly vague, just the usual, hey, you're violating our you're violating our policy on speech, yada, yada, yada. But it doesn't really give a lot of details. And, you know, I'd file an appeal, that sort of thing. There would be, you know, some movement. And then eventually I was just completely banned from it. And still, I still have yet to receive a real explanation other than some of my posts violated their community policies and standards. That's it. I mean, incredibly vague. I ran into the same situation with Facebook, as a lot of you have. But the latest little bump has actually come from LinkedIn. Now, I've been on LinkedIn, or I was on LinkedIn, for well over a decade. It was a great tool for networking, that sort of thing. And of course, millions and millions of members. So it was a great place to connect with friends, that sort of thing. And I never had any issues until 2020. And it was the same thing. I would post things about a lot of the stuff about racism and that sort of thing. And the anti-racism movement, which, you know, I still believe to be a bit of a cult. But I would post, you know, articles from reputable sources. I would post videos from different business professionals, my own, and then my own videos. And that's when every so often I would get like a bit of a warning. And I think each time I was able to dispute or appeal, and sometimes I would win. It was the same thing with Facebook. Sometimes I would win and they would have to repost the thing that they removed. But what LinkedIn did, and this happened just a few days ago, I posted a video just discussing the quote-unquote the collateral damage of 2020. And it was in reference to the anniversary of the death of George Floyd. And I just was talking about, you know, the over two dozen people that died while people were allegedly peacefully protesting and peacefully assembling to demand justice for the death of this one man that resulted in the deaths of, I think, 28 people. And I focused on one person in particular, a retired police captain, David Dorn, from St. Louis. And I uploaded that video, and there was some dialogue. I've uploaded, I think, maybe three dozen videos onto LinkedIn. And it was maybe in a matter of hours, I went to log back into the app and it wouldn't let me in. It said that my identity needed to be verified. So, you know, play that game where you, okay, well, here's a copy of my driver's license, yada, yada, yada. And then it went from that, then it just said it was restricted. And then I got an email that says your account was restricted due to multiple violations of LinkedIn user agreement and professional community policies against sharing content that contains misleading or inaccurate information. Then they provided a list of three posts, two from early April and one from March. And the posts were all centered around, you know, lockdowns and censorship, which is kind of ironic. And I looked at the details and I was thinking back, like, yeah, I remember when I posted those. I don't understand. How's that misinformation, disinformation, misleading or inaccurate information? And one post was an actual video from Dr. Carrie Mullis, who died in late 2019. And he was the inventor of the PCR test, also Nobel Prize winner, if I'm not mistaken. And in this video, he talks about how the PCR test can be manipulated. You can twist a lot of the data to sort of fit whatever your narrative is. And he also had some negative comments about Dr. Fauci and some statements from years ago about Dr. Fauci. And everything he stated was there was foundation there. There was information there. And the fact that you can claim that the inventor of the PCR test, apparently, you know, statements he's making in a video can fall under the category of misleading or inaccurate information, I find quite interesting. So they hit me with three. So that was the first one about Carrie Mullis. And the second one was just a group of doctors talking about lockdowns and the importance of free speech. I think it was a panel of 10 doctors. It was a short video, about 3 minutes. And of course, it was very professional. It was very fact-based and focused. But for some reason, it fell in within that category. So LinkedIn gave that a strike. Now, understand, these aren't individual strikes. This all just happened all at once. And then they just sent me an email, all these three strikes. Here you go. This is why we restricted your account. Now, the third item was another video, a panel, it was a testimony where a doctor was talking about the dangers of the lockdowns and how they've killed indirectly a lot of citizens, talking about suicide, that kind of stuff. And apparently that's misleading. That is misinformation, even though that makes perfect sense to just about anyone. If you try to force a population to stay indoors for months on end, and creating a situation where millions of people, tens of millions, lose their job and their sources of income, they can't be close to their family, their friends, their older relatives that pass on. They couldn't give them a proper burial. And you have all that going on, and you don't think that that could impact the number of suicides? That wouldn't impact the suicide rate for the year? And it did. But of course, that's another one of those things that the media doesn't really want to go into too much. So I just found it kind of interesting. And I knew it was coming sooner or later. And some of my friends, I've had quite a few friends that were kicked off for similar reasons, for similar quote unquote violations of their policies. And some recreated new accounts, that sort of thing, and just start building. And I had, I think, 10 or 12,000, some networks that were built, that sort of thing, because I'd been on there for some time. And it was useful. You know, I have to admit that. But to go to that length, you know, and to, they have an appeals process, which is just simply an email, which I sent explaining those three strikes I received and the content that was discussed in those videos. And demanding that they give me specifics. What exactly did Dr. Mullis state that was inaccurate or misleading about something that he helped create, something he invented. So far, no response. And there is a bit of a silver lining in all this, though, because once that happened, one of my friends recommended I check out BizFluence, another networking startup that's fairly new. And it has, I can't remember the exact number of members, maybe 50,000, something like that. I think more. But I went on there and kind of set up a set up my account, started connecting with people on there. And I've only been on there, I think, a day and a half. And I've already met, you know, so many wonderful people and, you know, so many experiences. I've been able to share a lot of my content from my podcast. And, of course, providing a lot of required context, that sort of thing, with each individual post. But it has great tools, you know, and because it's small, it can evolve and move quickly. And they can make adjustments as needed, as opposed to a much larger whale like LinkedIn, which I didn't know this, but LinkedIn was actually bought out by Microsoft back in 2019, December 2019. So perhaps that plays a factor, because some of the things I talked about and would discuss, I would talk about the big tech companies and big pharma, big oil, tobacco, and occasionally Bill Gates, his name would come up, of course. And understand, none of it was what some would deem, you know, wild claims of, you know, conspiracy theories, which people love throwing that around, that phrase, to try and label and silence those that are just asking legitimate questions. But all my statements, the information came from reputable sources. They were logical and reasonable questions. And none of the statements I made were out of bounds. At least I didn't think so. I think it was relevant and things that needed to be said. But apparently LinkedIn disagreed. So LinkedIn, it's useful. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that definitely hate on it. And I can understand why. Because they went turncoat pretty quick. Because I found it interesting how in 2020, there were people posting things about racism and slavery and the KKK, segregation. Some videos that of, you know, if somebody black was attacked by someone who was white, then, you know, they would just post those videos, and those videos would stay up on this platform with no opposition. And then I would turn around and I would say something negative about Black Lives Matter and, you know, and all factual information. I would lay out information about their leadership and their Marxist ideologies and their short history, their short 7-8 year history. And then I was met with a bit of criticism and, you know, or someone would try to report me, something like that. So it's clear that LinkedIn, you know, they pick and choose. They pick and choose their battles very well. And they use vague terms like misinformation, misleading, disinformation, inaccurate information. And another one I love is hate speech. I had someone try to throw that one at me last year. And I demanded an explanation, and I didn't get it. Because I think it's imperative that people challenge these statements. You know, when someone makes a statement like that, like, well, what you just said was hate speech, and then they try to move on. No. You tell me exactly, what do you mean by that? It's the same thing when someone says racist. You know, this person's a racist, or what you said was racist, which I've had that before. Even though I'm black, I've had that before. And when I ask, you know, or even demand, hey, tell me exactly what you mean by that. What part of what I've said or shared or discussed is racist, and tell me which part and why. And I usually get some sort of emotional outburst from whoever it is, because that's just the signs of a desperate person with nothing more to offer to any discussion. So you have to go to your emotions, go to your aggression, and, you know, it's incredibly sad. But with LinkedIn, It was a very useful tool, but it's a shame that it's gone the direction that it has. And it's a shame just how far censorship has escalated. And for those who think that it's, a left thing, a liberal thing, the concept of censorship, I'm sorry, but it's not. The only difference is, the left, the left leaning, they have more tools this time around. Because in the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s, there were quite a few hypocritical individuals that were on the right that were demanding the same level of censorship during the lead up to the Iraq War and the invasion and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people were deemed as not being patriotic or being a communist or whatever, simply because they were against the invasion in Iraq. So I tell people all the time, it's not necessarily a left or right thing, both. It's just the difference is the left has more tools now. So it's on a massive scale. I mean, you can if you have LinkedIn control on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and I think I mentioned Twitter. But if you have control of those, you can sweep through, and we're talking billions of people that use these platforms, and you can just push the people that you don't want to share their ideas, the dissenters, and you can just push them to the fringes. You can push them to the outside of the conversation where no one can hear them. Which there's a blessing in disguise there, whether you believe it or not, because it creates an opportunity for startups like BizFluence to pop up and give people an alternative. To create some competition for the big techs, and hopefully stable competition that's sustainable, that won't be gobbled up by those large entities. Because we saw a great deal of that with, like Vine, for example, where they were a multi-million-dollar, I think almost billion-dollar company at one point, and their claim to fame was just being able to share short videos, from your life, and then. Sure enough, they were bought up, and then that concept was applied to Instagram, and then they just sort of faded away into obscurity. So, hopefully it doesn't happen with a lot of these startups, because that's what we need. We need, BizFluence and a lot of these other smaller platforms to continue to build and to grow. And of course, Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes years, but eventually it'll become a strong competitor against the likes of, LinkedIn, and giving people that other option, something to lean on and transition to, especially in situations like this where clearly there's an agenda, clearly there's some collusion between a lot of these different platforms, considering that there's just one particular angle that is being pushed and another angle is being censored, and that's across the board. So just something I found just a little bit funny about LinkedIn and about this cancer or can't cancer. Wow, yeah, I guess it is cancer culture, but it cancel culture that has spread rampant through our society. So and of course, most societies tend to operate in a bit of a cycle, so this cycle will pass. But until then, you just continue to ask questions, continue to do your own research, and understand it's okay to swim against the waves, against the current if you have to, as long as you are holding strong to your principles and ensuring that your principles are the only thing you allow yourself to become a slave to. And with that, Snail Nation out.